Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is A Lot to Learn with Austin Rogers. For the guy who knows everything, he's still got a lot to learn. Without further ado, here's Austin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good evening, good night, good day, whatever the day it is. It's a podcast, so you're listening to this whenever. I am with tonight, today, whatever it is, Kara Inez, who is a Malaysian contemporary artist. Kara, welcome very much to the show.
Hello. Hi, Austin. Why do you have to say my name in that way?
Well, because everyone needs to know who you are. Kara's story is completely out there. You are from Malaysia.
I am from Malaysia.
You are from Malaysia. But you were schooled in Paris and San Francisco.
I was.
You were. Kara has a very interesting take on contemporary art that we're going to talk about tonight, because we're going to talk about a little bit West versus East. Yeah? We're not going to talk about that? She just gave me the nod that we're not going to talk about that. Let's get to the beginning. Describe the role that your art plays. Why are we looking at the Kara Inez body of work?
Well, I mean, my whole project came to be because I was outside just chilling with my friends and having a conversation, and this guy randomly comes out and was like looking at my arms and was like, "Your arms look really gross. You should wax them. They're super hairy. Go for waxing." Law.
Can I guess that he was a white guy?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't a white guy.
He wasn't. He's not. He's Asian.
Well, really?
And yeah.
And you have hairy arms, but
I totally have hairy arms.
But you do. She does not have hairy arms.
I do.
No, you ostensibly you do not. If one were to critique her on physical appearance, you would be like, whatever your arms look like, I don't care. All right, so this guy confronted you and goes, "If you were to be mine, you must wax your arms."
No, it was so crazy, because we were in this group of people and he said that, and it was just like, I was just like, you know, like punched in the face with this line, and like everyone around me just kind of like just didn't do anything. They, because I was like staring around, like feeling sorry for me kind of thing. They didn't like, you know, jump in at any point. And I also didn't know how to respond to it. So I was just like, okay. And then I went home and I kind of just like reflected on like what happened. And I was like, you know what? In the end of the day, you can't really blame this dude. Cause like,
no.
I know. But the thing is, you're like, everyone, like him, including everyone, has been bombarded by these unrealistic beauty ideals, like by the media, that support the notion that, women are required to be hairless to be beautiful.
What? Okay, so we said we were going to talk. We're not going to talk about West versus East, but this sounds like the top down reinforcement of Western beauty standards on someone who is from Asia.
No, but the thing is, like in Asia, like even like, because I'm Indian,
right?
And you know, like hair removal, like, you know, threading and everything, that's very Indian, right?
Is it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I'm misapplying a lens right now, because I'm thinking that your psyche must be affected by this side of the pond, the Western sides. This is endemic in Asian societies as well.
Oh yeah. Definitely. But yeah, I mean, like you see like billboards and everything, and everyone's hairless, and you're just like, yeah.
Okay. No. So this concept of beauty standard, again, I'm looking through it as a Western perspective. And I'm like, we should not be applying our Western beauty standard across the globe, but it's happening locally as well.
Yeah.
And this inspires and informs your art.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because, I mean, I went through a time where I was on a bunch of meds at one point because, you know, and like these medications kind of like made me grow a lot of hair. They made me put on a lot of weight. Like my skin had no space for skin because they had so much pimples on it. And like I would see these magazines, like, you know, the West magazines, like Vogue and everything. And,
right.
And I would compare myself to that and I'd be like crying, you know what I mean? And even Instagram also, like the social media and everything. And I was just like, oh my God, like I couldn't even leave my house. Like I was really upset.
So the concept of the beauty standard crammed down the throat of young impressionable women is hazardous to the psyche and to your sense of worth and your sense of well-being. How do you use that artistically to push forward and basically to help others?
Well, like, okay, so using like what, like that experience that I had with this guy and reflecting on that moment, I basically wanted to challenge these unrealistic notions and like beauty ideals with my project Go For Waxing Law. And I basically like named it after what he threw at me.
So he was Asian because he goes, go for waxing
yeah,
law.
Yeah, he was like, go for waxing law.
What does law mean?
Law is just like, is it that just like filler.
It's like
go for waxing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yo, you should wax, yo.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, go for waxing law. It's like, you know what I mean?
Got it. Yeah, well, that's rude.
Yeah. No, so he's like, go for waxing law. And I was just like, oh my God. So I basically named my project Go For Waxing Law as a big, like, beep you.
By the way, that transcends cultural borders. We know exactly when you say what that means. All right, describe Go For Waxing Law.
Yeah, so like Go For Waxing Law, like it comprised of like a bunch of hairy wearable sculptures and performance art videos.
A hairy wearable sculpture.
Not a bunch.
A bunch.
So it's not one. It's a lot.
A plethora of hairy wearable sculptures.
So many.
What is so many hairy wearable sculptures? What is a hairy wearable sculpture?
No, so the thing is like, so I would mold women's body parts.
Yep.
So nipples, vaginas. So it's like, you know, it's like it's from a woman.
Yeah.
Right. And I would attach hairs to it, like sew on hairs to it, like in really quirky, strange ways.
What material were you using for these body parts?
So I was using silicone and my hair.
You're literally plucking your own hair.
I would sew it into someone else's nipple.
Totally.
Like, no, I collect my hair. You know when you shower and like when you shower, you kind of like the hair.
Yes, I've
the
had a
drain gets kind of clogged.
I've had a girlfriend before. I've had only one girlfriend
so
ever.
So you understand.
I am so
lonely. One girlfriend?
Yes, I am immensely lonely. Wealthy, but immensely lonely. So yeah, you take that detritus and you'd be like, yay, more art.
Oh no, totally. It's like, so I would get my friends like to donate their hair. So I keep a cup by my...
this is gross. I mean, but it's for art.
Art! No, but art. That was really loud.
No, it was very loud, but it was art.
Yeah, it was art. So I kept a cup by my shower. So like whenever I wash my hair, I would like just pull it out because, you know, like, shit just comes out like when you do that, when you have long hair. You don't notice it because your hair is quite short.
Yeah.
But then, and I'd keep it in this cup and just like let it go for like months and months and months. And this cup would just fill up. And now I have to like, you know, multiply the cups and there's more cups.
Do you do the stick on the shower wall thing?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. that might
what
be...
do you mean by stick on the shower wall?
Oh, that might be a Western thing. That might be a Western
what,
thing.
What, the hair?
Oh, yeah. You'll purposely do it? You'll go to a girlfriend's apartment and she wasn't expecting you to come over and you'll be like, oh, can I take a quick shower? Or I'm going to shower
and
in
you
the
purposely...
morning. And you go in and there's just a wad of hair on the wall because... they know if they let the hair go down the drain, they're going to have to call a plumber or fix it themselves. Yeah.
See.
Oh, did you just learn something?
That's a culture shock for me
right
there.
Did you just learn something?
I did about the Western world.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick the hair against the wall of the shower and then it'll get stuck there. And then when it's stuck there and the boyfriend goes into shower, he goes, this is gross. Also, how many gels do you have? Because I've got literally one bar of soap and one stick of deodorant.
Yeah, but I would collect all this hair from my friends, but not only that, but I have a hairdresser that I usually go to, and like she would happily collect hair for me, so I have just like a ball of hair, and one day it's like a dream of mine to have just like a massive ball of hair that would fill a room. Maybe one day.
Right.
You know, artist dreams. Those dreams.
I think somewhere outside of Lawrence, Kansas is the world's largest ball of hair.
But so what, human hair, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
That makes it special, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess you gotta fight with Lawrence, Kansas. Bloody, bloody Kansas. Okay, so discuss how you manufactured or created these living hairy sculptures.
Yeah, so the thing is, like, I would mold these women, like their nipples and the vaginas. Like, I think I even molded my friend's like armpit too. And
that would be the one giggling in the background, right?
Yeah, yes. that's the one that yes. I molded. And and it's really funny because as I molded these women, they would always like tell me about their insecurities. Yeah. And it's like, I never even asked for that, but
this is an unintended consequence.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. Like before I was like, oh yeah. Before, you know, you'd always like, you know, get a little bit of drink on before you take clothes off, you know, like kind of woo them. But like the thing is, but the thing is, yeah. But like before they even like take their shirts off, they would be like, all right, by the way, you should know that. And like they like list down all the things
and
that
everyone's
insecure about.
Got a story.
Everyone's got a story. And it's
this one guy told me this, or I feel I look like this.
Yes. And it's like, and it's crazy because these women are beautiful and they're like their breasts, their like nipples, their vagina, like everything is beautiful. And but they all have like a story linked to this thing. And I thought like that would add so much, but like at that point, I wasn't focusing on that, so I never recorded it. So, like, I moved on, like, after that. I will get into that later.
Yes, please.
But then, so then I used silicone, and I would sew onto these things. So I'd made, like, you know, nipple stickers. You know what you usually get in stores to, like, you know, make sure, like, your nipples don't show. Like,
is that a thing?
That is a thing. Like, you know, like, you know, because, like, women are not supposed to show your nipples,
right,
like through your T-shirt.
If you're wearing, like, a light sweater and, like, a mesh bra, you're going to see the nipple, right?
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with it. But when I was a young little pervert, I'd be like, check it out over there. Must be cold, right?
Because
there'd always be this inherent fetishization of the perceived as taboo. But yeah. if a guy was cold and his T-shirt's tight, no girls are walking by being like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, yeah. right?
And
I don't even know what that means.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
That's what I say when I drink alcohol. No, but it also depends where you are. Like when I was studying in Paris, like everyone didn't wear a bra. And
right.
it's like, it was so freeing. I was like, oh, I didn't need to wear this bra. And you know, like wearing a bra, it's like, it kind of hurts and it's uncomfortable. And you wear and you get that like line. It's just like, it's not, you know. But yeah, so I made these things that you could put on.
Yep. Nipple stickers. Yeah.
And I also made underwear and bras and stuff. So instead of like taking off hair, which is like what women are conventionally supposed to do with their hair,
yep.
you do the opposite. Like you put it on like as a way to celebrate and like kind of accept body hair on women.
Right. I mean, I don't know where this hairless thing came from because it goes up and down, it ebbs and flows. I mean, it is in essence embedded in fashion, right? Because some things are, you know, you've got those memes going around that are like, women used to look like this and now they look like this, right? Like it'll show like a Marilyn Monroe, a curvy Marilyn Monroe, and then it'll show a super skinny modern supermodel and be like, I remember when women used to look like this. And then you've got, you know, the Rubenesque era in the 17th century and stuff where curvy and pale was in. So it does ebb and flow. We understand that. But where is this overall hair thing coming from?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, that doesn't...
Like, it's... Because the thing is, like, hair removal goes back all the way to, like...
Oh, the Romans did it, the Greeks did it,
Egyptians, like, all the way...
Oh, the Egyptians had no hair. They only wore wigs. Back.
Yeah, and it just kind of, like, trickled
down. But that was heat management, wasn't it?
And even, like, Queen Elizabeth starts, like, she waxed her eyebrows.
Oh, yeah,
no,
yeah.
Like, she removed her
eyebrows. She either had little drawn-on ones or whatever.
Yeah.
But also, Queen Elizabeth was painting her face in white lead. So Queen Elizabeth might not be the paragon of beauty standard that we might adhere to.
But it's so strange how, like, this natural feature on a person, like, especially, like, a woman, is seen as repulsive. And, like, so I did this... this performance art thing, right? This performance art piece where okay, you're also gonna kind of get a bit repulsed by this.
No. I am repulsed by I'm repulsed by nothing other than my romantic choices of the past.
But yeah, so you know that like cup of hair. So this is where I'm wearing it.
Cup of hair.
This cup
brought
of hair.
To you by Nissin. Nissin, the makers of Cup o' Noodles, now present to you Cup o' Hair.
You're welcome.
Tonight's podcast has been brought to you by Nissin. Nissin, the makers of Cup o' Hair.
But yeah, so
actually, cup of,
I
don't know.
This should be a thing. We should do it.
Cup o' Hair sounds like a late 19th century New York Irish cop. I'm Detective Cup o' Hair.
Or you can just name it Cup o' Hair and then donate the hair and mail it to me. You know what I mean? And like just add to my art piece. Like,
play a Sarah McLachlan song in the background. Kara needs hair.
I do. It's an advert. Yeah, no, but yeah, so this cup of hair that I would keep, it's my hair because I was saving it for this performance art piece. And this cup of hair, it's mine and it's clean because I know it's clean because I do. And I wash it. I make sure it's clean, especially before the performance art piece. And what I did was I put this, excuse my burp. I put.
don't know if you could tell at home, but we've been drinking.
We have.
Well, there's a reason. Kara was a little bit nervous. She
should
not be. You
could tell in the beginning.
She should not be because she's a sparkling conversationalist. Okay. However, we kicked back a couple glasses of wine to lubricate the social mores.
I'm waiting for like the sound of the wine bottle.
It will come. It will come. Anticipation is 50% of anticipation.
Well done, Austin.
Yes. I'm supposed to be the smart one.
Yeah, so like that cup of hair that I've been collecting for ages, it's my hair, it's clean, I know it's mine, and it's for months. So before the performance piece, I like washed it and everything with shampoo because I don't know whether you're supposed to wash it with anything else because it's hair. And then so what I did is that I put it in my mouth.
Yep.
Yeah.
The cup of hair.
The cup of hair.
Yep. Now clean hair.
Without the cup.
Yep.
Just the hair. And then like I pull it out slowly, like one by one.
Right.
Right.
And this is you reenacting the performance piece.
Oh, what I'm doing right now.
No.
I'm telling you about it.
No, but this was the piece, right?
This is the piece.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Yeah. So I was like pulling it out strand by strand.
Kara has pretty long hair, middle of her back.
Got a lot of hairs. A lot of hair. I've been growing it out for this project. Yep.
So you're extracting the hair, your own very clean hair from your mouth.
Yeah. So I'm pulling it out slowly, one by one by one. And the thing is, like, even though it's super clean, and like I know it's for myself, like, I couldn't help myself, like, from gagging. Like,
well,
I was
yes.
Just like, blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, like,
you get a hair in your meal, and you're like, no.
Yeah, and you pull it out,
and you got two.
And it's strange because it's like, if it's on your head and you put it in your mouth, it's like, it's fine. But as soon as it's like not a part of your body anymore, it becomes like the super abject material, right?
Right. It
and
does.
And it's super strange. And my boyfriend was recording the whole thing, and I had to, there's so many takes we had to do because he kept freaking gagging. He was like, and I was like, oh my God, Chris, please, like, pull it together, man. And I was there, and I was also gagging. I was like, it's hard for me. Like, I can't hear
you're the one, you're not the one with hair in your mouth, dumbass.
Exactly. And I was like, and I was like pulling it out. I was like trying really hard to gag, but it's just, and I didn't expect that because it's like, I thought it was my hair. It was going to be like a super like neat kind of performance, but I was gagging throughout the whole piece. And like, and it's kind of like, it shows how, you know, like this natural thing can be looked at as repulsive.
Right.
And it kind of acts as like a metaphor for how, like, you know, it's like society, the way we view body hair on women,
right?
How this natural thing has been turned into something repulsive.
And this is this video of you exhaling, waiting to exhale. Again, wine is involved right now. This video is on your Instagram, correct?
It's not.
It is not.
It's not. But there are shots of it.
Okay. Well, we'll give you Cara's Instagram at the end. And by the way, you might have come here via Instagram when I announced this episode. Wow, I'm lost now.
There are a lot of strange things on my Instagram.
We've got the performance art where you are self-extracting your own extremities, which are distasteful to you and distasteful to probably the watcher, right?
Yeah, and it's like this false idea of like hair that is instilled in me,
right?
You know, that's conditioned. I'm conditioned to think that this thing is
You should use conditioner on your hair to condition it. This has been brought to you by Vidal Sassoon. Vidal Sassoon, they make conditioner for hair regurgitation videos. So that's one of your performance pieces. Let us talk about the vagina party.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please.
You know, like how when I was molding these nipples.
Yes, which is real people's nipples.
Real people's nipples, yep. and like, you know, armpits and all that, like the parts that have been kept hidden.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
The ew gross parts or the ooh salacious parts.
Yeah.
Because it's either,
it's like reserved for like, you know, special people.
Yes, it's either intimate or hidden.
Yeah.
Like even if you're lying in bed together, you go, ew, close your armpit, that's gross, right? I mean, I don't know.
Don't say that.
No. I actually don't know. I actually got a fan letter. I got a fan
about
letter.
About your armpit.
Oh my God.
No, wait, that was a joke.
Oh no.
Oh, okay.
I did that wow. Said I want to lick your armpits.
That's kind of
no, I literally got it.
That's special.
You know what? You know what?
That's very special.
You know what? Can I no, hold on. Hold on. Can I see my phone? Give me my phone. I've never read this aloud.
Oh yes, yes.
Okay.
You get something of like something personal of Austin. This is Austin's podcast interview, not mine.
Oh no. We're gonna get on to you. Maybe you could inject something into this. Okay. I received. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
No. This is. This is a lot to know with Austin Rogers after hours. I'm going to drop this one at 3:34 a.m. on a Monday.
Because it's extra long. Because it's either you cut out the laughing or you let it go.
I'm letting it go. I'm fucking frozen right now.
It's going
I'm
way let past it go. 45 minutes, guys.
All right, so I received this letter. We're really going to get back to I don't care anymore. It's literally my show. I could do whatever the hell I want.
Do what you want. I know. Just do it.
I
know.
I was told like, will they fit into your portfolio of guests? I'm like, it's my show. I can do it.
Wait, are they talking about me?
No, you were already on. I was talking.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about Ollie, episode 7, season 3, or whatever he is. All right. So I received this letter, a fan letter, ostensibly a fan letter, in single point, tiny point font, typed in some sort of Arial font. Austin, I like you, but wish you wold, not wood, wold, not wold. Smoke.
Oh.
I would love to suck your oop and do 69 with you.
Aww.
I am a guy and hope you are gay, period. I love to rim, too.
Aww.
I love...
Many talents.
I love to deep French kissing. Oof. I am 39 years old and want to be your friend. I love to lick armpits, too. That was the letter. That was the letter.
What did you do? What did you reply?
I took a photo of it and I sent it to all my friends.
You didn't reply? You have to reply to that.
No return address. It is a type. It's a typewritten letter.
I thought it was like a social media thing.
Oh, no. This was mailed to the bar.
Oh, it's so beautifully like printed, too.
Yes. It's printed from like, it's printed from whatever this.
I hope you are gay.
Yes. By the way, we're the same age, so we're both 39. 39, boy.
I'm crying at the moment.
Anyway, armpits, taboo. So the vagina party.
Yeah. So, on to... Okay. Yes. So, all these stories that I was doing, that story was...
Oh,
ridiculous.
No.
It still resonates with me.
I love that he wanted me to wold not smoke.
After, like... Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So, all these, like, interesting... He's like, by the way.
BT Dubs, armpits, dig them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But, you know, when I was doing the molding for, like, my wearable sculptures, so, you know, I did the vagina panties and, like,
the nipples that
the
go
nipple
over
bra.
Your
yeah,
nipples.
The, yeah, nipple stickers. And also I made a bra out of women's breasts. I also made a sculpture, like a wearable sculpture of a dress that was made out of 160 used wax strips.
Ah.
Did you not know that?
No, I saw that on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Again, we'll get her Instagram at the end of the show, yeah. And you should check it out. Actually, you know what? Give it to them right now so they could go along with our experience.
Okay, so my Instagram is KarzMarz, KarzMarz.
Zed is what other people say for Z.
Oh, is that not what you say in America?
No, we say Z because we're the United States of America and we win.
Zzz.
Zzz. We've won Zzz. We've won everything.
Yeah, so like I made this dress, and the thing is, it's like
out of actual wax strips.
Yeah, and the thing is, I for this project, I kept my hair growing for 4 months. So that's something that I've never done before because, you know, like since I was younger, I was told that I have to like wax and be clean. And like if I saw one hair, I would like flip my shit. Right. But yeah, so this is the first time that I was like, you know, I'm just going to let it grow. And I've never really been insecure about like my body hair, especially, you know, like because my arm hair keeps growing. But I always make sure like my legs are clean or like, you know, get your vag like done and all that jazz. But you know what I'm. Yeah, because it's like, I don't know. I've always had this insecurity about like, you know, like a little bit of body hair on like the vagina side and like the armpits and the legs. But my arm hair I would let go. But this is the first time that I just let it go for basically like half a year. And like
all your hair.
Oh yeah, everything.
Yeah, just everything. Yeah.
Everything. My boyfriend was just like, God, what you doing?
Well, your boy well. You know, you're in a relationship and there's certain points where they're like, you know, it's winter. Screw you. This is the way it's going to be.
No, but it's...
But you know what? You're like, well, that's you. But that's your body. That's you. You do this.
Right? Yeah. And no, the thing is,
I'm what scientists like to call woke.
But what
Or desperate.
What I didn't like think would happen was I would get so much crap from like people I loved.
Like passersby or no, like people friends, you know.
Like people I knew, like friends. And also
really?
And also like, you know, people on the MRT. Do you guys know what an MRT is?
MRT would be the like subway. The train. It's the
yeah,
subway.
It's a train.
We call it, well, in New York we call it the subway or the MTA, the third level of hell. in Boston they call it the T. In Chicago they call it the L. In London they call it the tube. In Paris they call it le metro. In German they call it the Unterschwassbahn. I don't know what they call it. Wow. No, listen. I don't. Your countries are cool and all, but I'm not from a country. I'm from New York.
Yeah, but it was insane. Sorry, I'm like drinking wine. And
we are both drinking wine.
Yeah, so we're on the it's just me. It's like you're experiencing with me this whole thing with Austin.
Everyone else is, by the way. So yeah. I hope we're having fun.
So I'm on the MRT and I'm sitting there, and the thing is, it's like when I first started this, like everyone, you know, as it slowly grew the hair, like I slowly noticing people noticing my hair.
Yeah.
It first started like,
and
in
not
the,
positive.
No. People would like look at my hair in the elevator and be like, just, you know, you have a conversation with like, I don't know, a stranger, and they'd like just kind of like look at your like legs and kind of look up really quickly because they don't want to like offend you. But you know that, you know, you've kind of like struck something in them. You
right.
know what I mean? And in the MRT, like I get like some people like looking and pointing and kind of laughing, kind of whispering. And I was like, oh my God. And
it's working.
Yeah. And the thing is, but it's straight. This, and the thing is, this was, I was keeping the hair for a performance art piece, another performance art piece that I was doing. And like, it turned out to be like this social experiment, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and the thing
again,
is,
again, more unintended consequences.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like, as I did, it was just like, it was so bad because like at the end of it, I got so insecure that I started wearing jeans, long pants. And
so
like long,
the culture shame worked.
It did. And like, I was never ashamed of that part. And then now I was like, oh my God, like I can't go out to all these like events. So I've, because people are going to be looking at me and judging me. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm also doing this thing on body hair and women body empowerment. And like, I'm hiding myself.
You're
just
proving
like,
what
your
am
I point.
Doing? No, you're like, literally proving
doing?
Your point.
I know, but it's so crazy. It's like this cognitive dissonance kind of thing, right?
Right. And I'm trying like, to do X. And X is backfiring on me.
Right?
Should I keep doing X?
Yeah, it's like I'm trying. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to go with what I believe, but at the same time, I have this like really strange, like desire to like please and like fit in.
Right. Which is ingrained from you, ingrained in everyone from a young person. More so, I feel like due to prevalent image, young women.
Yeah.
Like young men will be like, yeah, you're fat, lose weight.
Yeah.
What? That's the end of it. There's nothing else that you're judged for as a young man. Yep. Hey, fatty, lose weight. But what else? It's never like, get more muscle, be taller, lose some hair, get a cool haircut. It's like, nah, boys will be boys. But
I'm sure men have their own.
Oh, there is body dysmorphia in the male world. You just get over it with whiskey and Guinness. okay, I'm going to stop. Going to stop right there on my own fucking self-image. I said I wasn't going to swear on this one. I just did twice.
Shit.
no, but I think the pressures on women are immensely harder. Like you guys are operating at 3,000 feet below sea level where it will just crush a little can like nothing.
I was actually just watching this crazy interesting TED talk by this woman called Carrie Hammer, and it's called The Business of Beauty is Very Ugly. And she talks about how the beauty industry has made a business out of creating unrealistic expectations and beauty standards, then profiting off and exploiting the insecurities that they helped create. And I was like, ugh. You know, I was like, God, that is a scary.
Listerine has done it twice. Oh, no, Lysol. Lysol was originally invented as a feminine douche. Lysol, the thing that you clean your floors with.
Feminine douches are like not good for you.
Oh, no. It's terrible. Yes, no. Oh, no. It's absolutely the worst because, you know, you've got all your natural fluids and stuff like that that are there for a freaking reason, right? Wine break.
I've been waiting for that.
Wait, and then we got to get the glug, glug, glug. It either sounds like I was urinating or it was wine break.
It can be whatever you want, guys. Anything you want.
You can be whoever you want to be.
Which goes with our topic.
Right. Lysol was invented as a feminine douche. And then they go, well, might be a little harsh. Let's use it as a floor cleaner.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Lysol is an American brand. I think they're owned by Procter & Gamble.
Like, why would you buy a feminine douche that, like...
I think it was the 1890s.
Oh, okay, so it's not now.
Oh, no. It wasn't 1972. The 1972 was like Virginia Slims. Only the real woman smokes Virginia Slims. Listerine invented the concept of bad breath. Apparently, everyone had bad breath before 1928 when Listerine invented halitosis. Okay, so here's my problem with my tangents. One, these two young women are laughing at me, or laughing with me.
And two, I forgot
where we were going. Oh, yes, how poisonous the concept of the beauty industry is.
Yeah. No, but it was so... So, you know, the vagina party. So, like, that...
Ah, the vagina party. We still haven't gotten to the vagina party.
God, this is what happens when...
Ain't no party like a vagina party because a vagina party don't stop.
No, but the thing is, this, like, leads on to, like, this vagina party, which... Okay, because you know how I was, like, molding, like, nipples and everything and vaginas and, like, armpits and, like, everyone had their own insecurities, but I was, like, I didn't record... what their insecurities or what they had to say about everything. So I basically was like, you know what? Like, I should just mesh the two.
Because when you did the nipple event,
it was just
everyone organically started offering their own insecurities and narratives.
I found it so much more interesting. It's like, it adds so much to like this piece, right? And because like, I have my own view on what like, on, like my insecurities and like beauty ideals and like all that. And like, it's so specific to my own cultural upbringing and my own histories. But like, you know, I don't know whether that's different with other women. Right. So I'm sure it is. And I was like, so curious to find out. And after like doing this on other women, I was like, oh my God, like
it's universal.
Yeah. But they all have their different stories. So then when I decided to organize a vagina party. I invited, invited like five people or three people. And then it's like word got out and like magically 15 beautiful women appeared at my doorstep.
Right. And I've actually, before we met, I've actually heard about this party. And I want to talk about that experience. One, what your end goal of was with the project. And two, all these amazing stories that came out of it.
Oh God, there's so many.
So what did you want to accomplish? You are you're taking women in two by two into a separate room, and you are with silicone.
Oh, look at you! You know your stuff.
Yes, I was told by an insider the intimate details. By the way, very intimate details of the vagina party. So you're taking women in two by two, and you are applying silicone to their vaginas, and you are utilizing it later to mold it into another silicone simulacrum of their private parts.
And the thing is, it start like as you said. So
I'm not squeamish, by the way.
Oh, I didn't like. I met you and I knew you weren't. Oh. I knew I could put anything in front of you and you'd be like, "All right,
yeah, whatever."
Cool. But this party was basically like a way for like women to get together and just have a conversation about beauty ideals and like how culture affects that and like if it's important for a woman to feel beautiful and like whether that affects society and like you know, just the insecurities and everything, and everything that's hidden and not talked about, right? And like, this is a safe space, right? So my apartment is kind of like divided into two. So I have my bedroom and my living room. And the bedroom is like, I prepped it. So it's like, that's, I'm pairing everyone up, like you said. And so two people will be there. And as I'm molding their vaginas with a friend of mine, they're getting interviewed from the top, like with a camera and everything.
Right. And I've seen these interviews. They're getting interviewed.
Oh, so from you saw that.
They're getting interviewed. And their top is covered, and it's just from, you know, basically the shoulder bones up.
Yeah, and they're just having a conversation about their own experience with beauty and everything. And then in the next room, there's like a safe space where everyone's clothed and, you know, like can just mingle and talk about these things, like without having their clothes off. But like literally, like after my first molding, I come out and everyone's naked.
Why do you think that happened?
No, seriously. I was like, wow, this escalated real quickly.
Well, because I did see you shared with me one video or one still photo. I don't remember if it was a video or a still photo where two women are sitting down and you're videotaping them from the top, mm-hmm. from their face. And I don't know if they were strangers or not, but they just start holding hands.
Yeah.
Very intimately holding hands. Did these two young women know one another?
They did.
Okay, they did. They did. Yeah. So there was, but that sort of level of female bonding, it has to be hard to encounter in the day-to-day life.
No, but I mean, just the fact that like I came out of the room that was closed and that I was molding two people. And
right.
Also, you know that like I knew three people and then the rest were just strangers. I just met them. So they kind of like, just for them to put their trust in me is like super brave.
I mean, I was in a cabin in rural Wisconsin in the middle of nowhere during college with my then college girlfriend and a couple of friends, one of whom was a very close friend from growing up. And I invited him to this cabin for New Year's, right? And we're 19, we're 20, we're 21, whatever we are. Maybe it's, oh, it was, oh, wait, was it? It was New Year's 1999 to 2000. So I would have been 22 years old, 21 years old. I don't know my age. Anyway, we're in this cabin and I go to the bathroom and I come out and everyone, guy and girl, it's all couples. Everyone's naked. I'm like, what? Nope, yeah. Nope. Because I wasn't mature enough to sort of handle that thing.
No, yeah. I can imagine, because like the thing is like I like doing this vagina party gave me so much anxiety because I've never
told anyone that story.
Oh,
by the
really?
Way.
Yeah. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Oh, there are photos of it.
Naked parties.
Well, no, there are photos of naked photos of this one I'm talking about, but Hi, I'm Austin Rogers. Welcome to More Than You Wanted to Learn about Austin Rogers.
I feel like this conversation I've learned so much about you.
Oh, God. I think
the world has learned.
She doesn't even know this one. Yeah.
So is there any more you want to add about that story?
Nope. I want to say I'm amazing and a red-blooded American white male who is freaking... All right. So you come out after and everyone's just... There's this new intimacy that you never again.
And these are everyone's strangers,
right?
Like they're all introduced. They all like came to know about this project like separately. You know what I mean? So they all brought together, but they still like, you know, stripped down. And I was just like, and I was there, and I have like massive insecurity issues when it comes to my body, because when I was like on meds, like as I was talking about, like I gained a lot of weight, and like when I was really, really, really young, like I was really skinny. And you know, everyone is all like keeps talking about, you know, like fat shaming and everything. But the thing is, it's like when I was really, really
skinny. Well, skinny shaming is also a thing.
It's a thing, and the thing is, it's like it's not talked about enough either. When I was really young,
well,
like,
it's even worse. It's sometimes celebrated. There's the whole internet phenomena of like. Pro Anna,
but for me it was different. Like when I was growing up, like I couldn't wear shorts because my legs were like twigs, and everyone would call me like twig girl, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like in Malay, you know what I mean? And it was just
la,
but in Malay, so it's like, oh,
twig or la.
So for all the guy, all the people like listening in like in Malaysia, it's like, oh, kakiyu macam kayu, bro. And I was like, oh my god,
I don't know what that means, but two people in the room laughed very hard.
Yeah.
So it must be funny or mean.
Yeah, no, it was so, and like I couldn't wear shorts, I couldn't wear bikinis, I felt super like, and it was, you know, everyone, and I wanted to gain weight but I couldn't, like it was just not part of
right.
the way
sometimes
my body,
sometimes you can,
I just couldn't do it, I ate so much and I couldn't gain weight, right? And
nasi lemak?
Couldn't, nothing. I'd eat five and nothing would happen. As much as I tried. And then I got to a weight that I was comfortable with. You know what I mean? And then after a while, like, I was on meds because I had really severe, like, anxiety. And, like, this doctor put me on meds that made me gain a ton of weight. And then suddenly I gained so much weight, I couldn't fit any clothes in the store. And then now I'm being fat shamed. You know, I was being fat shamed by the people I loved.
You had both sides of
the spectrum. I had both sides of the spectrum. And I was being fat shamed. And it's like, it's not by... I haven't actually like told anyone this, but I remember...
Well, join the club because it's growing by the minute.
I remember going to a club and going to the bathroom and like this girl approaches me and she's like, oh my God, you look kind of like Kari Inez, but like not really.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Way.
And then I was like, I am Kari Inez. And she's like, oh. And then she just kind of like looked at me up and down and just walked off. And I was just like...
That's like a teen movie like
moment. No, it was
moment.
Really, it was so bad. And I was like, oh my God. And like, seriously, even like, it was so bad. I told you before that, you know, I'd look on Facebook and like all these magazines and these social medias and I'd like pass by in taxis, like with billboards and everything and seeing these like beautiful women. And I'm like, oh my God, I can never be that. And I like cut my hair off, like all my hair off. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? It was my birthday. I couldn't even go because I cut all my hair off. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's like another thing I've never told anyone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well.
Well,
I'm
sure
here.
People saw it because you cut your hair
no,
off.
No, I didn't leave the house. I was just like, no, until I grew up. Yeah, but it was like a really, really hard time. And I never loved my body. And like the thing is, I'd never realized how important it is to love your body. And like doing this vagina party really made me realize. Because even after that, after I lost the weight and everything and I still feel super into, I have like stretch marks because of like the weight loss that I have, like all the way up my thighs and everything. And I go to this vagina party and all these women like of all sizes are there, like in the room, like just being like, this is me. Look at me. Like, I love my body. I don't give a shit. And I was just like there and they're talking about each other's like insecurities and stuff. But they're like, I love myself for who I am. And I'm still, I organize this thing and I'm fully clothed, you know? And I was
right,
there. I was
right.
Just like, God. And then like after a while, I was just like, you know what? Like maybe.
Like, yeah.
I should like get out of this. But I still didn't because I still had that thing ingrained in me. Right. It was so strange. But then and then at the end of the day, like I had to get my thing molded because of course, like
it's called a vagina.
Is it my? Yeah, I know.
Yes.
And like,
oh,
also
wait,
that
that's
weirdness.
Actually right. Because you could talk about anyone else's vagina, but
and
you can't say
like,
my thing.
My thing. Remember we were, did you see, I don't know whether you watched, but someone actually brought that up.
I watched some of them.
Yeah,
I didn't watch them all.
There, one of the girls brought up how strange it is to say the word vagina.
But
and
why?
The,
I mean, it's just a normal medical term, you know?
Yeah, but I mean like here, it's like, everyone's just like, oh, it's my down there.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's my. It's my thing.
Oh no, but I think that is cross cultural because I think everyone has like euphemisms, like where they're like, you know, like in America, one of the things is like health classes don't tell you, they're like, when the bird loves the bee and the bee wants to, you should abstain from sex, right? And that's the end of it. And you're like, okay, cool. I'm cool with this. I think everyone has euphemisms for it. And
yeah.
I think using the proper medical terms of like testicles and penis and vagina is eminently important because you're like, well, I'm referring to it in this context because now it's not a taboo thing. And if I'm referring to the other context, I'm going to use words that I'm not going to use on this podcast.
Yeah. But yeah, during the interviews, you know, because I was so afraid to like pull my pants down, right? Like, not because, you know, everyone was naked except me. And I was just like, oh my God, like, you know, like, I don't know what Mujana looks like. Because the thing is, it's like, you know, you watch porn, right? Let's be honest here. Like, everyone's fucking porn.
I have never watched porn. I have never watched porn, Mom.
So like you watch porn and these like vaginas are like ridiculously beautiful. Like as in like they're so like well like in. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like so we were having a conversation while I was molding someone's vaginas. I was like, yeah, do you ever watch porn? And like, you know, I was watching porn and like I saw these vaginas and I was like, oh my God, like this looks nothing like my vagina. You know what I mean? It's right. Like, God.
Well, spoiler alert, the same thing applies to men. Yeah. Well, other men, not me.
Yeah, but like,
I'm so lonely.
But one of the women brought up how, there's like this massive rise for genital cosmetic surgery, you know, to get the perfect vagina.
Yeah, labioplasty.
Yeah, yeah. They call it designer vaginas.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you've got the doctor giving, the honeymoon stitch. Mm. After you give birth, the husband goes to the doctor, goes, hey, can you give her the honeymoon stitch, right? Because for some reason, you know, like, this one's going to be censored as hell. Actually, no, you know what? We're all adults here, right? Right? No, the honeymoon stitch is a weird thing because it's like, hey, doc, give her a little.
I heard about that. Give her a little. Is it after you give birth?
Give her a little tightness on the way out the door.
That is not safe. That is not good for you.
I guarantee a stitch in your vagina is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, even like porn reinforces this like unrealistic beauty ideal. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Even then, and it's not only like you're not only setting unrealistic standards for women, but also men. You know what I mean? Like by seeing this.
Yeah, both sides are not normal people.
No, because as in like if men see these vaginas on like women in porn and then they actually like, you know, get with someone and then they're just like, oh, this is not what a vagina is supposed to look like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And conversely, a woman sees porn and she's
like, yeah, exactly.
This is how sex is supposed to be.
It's not.
Right.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, especially when you see it every day and you're just getting bombarded by it, like, throughout the media, porn, everything, like, everywhere.
Right.
It's kind of like the idea of, like, this, what is beautiful kind of gets twisted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But
so it makes you think, like, if this is beautiful, then what am I? Like, am I the opposite of that?
Right.
I don't look like that.
And the dark side of this is you go, I'm nothing. And then it starts drilling deep inside of you and it reinforces it. It's sad. But you're a success story. You had all these issues. You had all these, like, sort of ghosts in your past. And you've come through it through art. How can art help others?
Oh my God. Just by having a conversation about it, just getting it out there is so powerful. It really is. Because there's so many things that are kept hidden. And like, I feel like through art, like these things get exposed.
And any art, writing,
any
music,
art.
Visual art.
Of course.
Molding
anything.
Nipples. All right.
Yes.
So that was funny because the serious artist who we're talking about molding nipples about, I said, and molding nipples. And she goes, that's pretty funny. Kara, what are you working on right now? Is it still an extension of the vagina project?
Oh, wow. Okay. So now I'm moving. Oh, it's linked to that, but I'm kind of moving it away from that. I'm kind of moving into
knees, because you've gone nipples, vagina. So knees
is like
knees,
the next big thing.
Knees are the next China.
That accent, though.
I can't help it.
Yeah, no, but...
he's my president.
No, it's... So I want to kind of explore the link between, you know, excessive hair and the idea of monstrosity.
What do you mean by monstrosity?
It's like once you exaggerate the parts of the body, it starts turning and like morphing into something monstrous, you know? And like, so I'd like to focus on the abjection of the female body, like the abjectness of the female body.
Like accentuated hair.
Yeah. And it's like also, you know, with female monsters, there is like, female monsters can be super powerful. Like, female monsters are very, very powerful. They have, like, this...
Right, there's the succubus who, you know, sleeps with you at night. There's the sirens who lure you to death.
There's the
banshee who's the harbinger of doom. There's Medusa who turns you to stone. I mean, there are a lot
of
female monsters.
Of course.
There's my ex-girlfriend who, no, one of them wasn't. Well, one of them, some of them were.
yeah, but I mean, like the sculpting of these female monsters are so deeply rooted in like gender and culture.
Right. There's Margaret Thatcher who would not give people milk because she was a terrible person. There's Betsy DeVos who has 7 yachts yet still is the Department of Education head. American joke. Again, I'm allowed to talk about my culture. I don't know about you guys.
But like, how cool is it that, you know, like usually like, you know, the woman is like portrayed as like this like damsel in distress
or sexual predator.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And carnivore. It's like, yeah.
So it's like it's crazy like you know, these female monsters.
You're a virgin or a hussy.
But these female monsters are completely different because they have the power to take life but as well give life.
Really?
You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
They are like
Because women give life.
Yeah. Yeah, they can give life as well as take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's crazy.
And this is still coupled with hair.
Oh, yeah, totes.
Totes hairy.
No, but I would love to do, like, I don't know whether I should say what I want to do, but I would love to do, like...
Give us a little teaser.
Well, I mean, I would love to explore, like, the whole, like... being really abject about it and also like abstract about it. So it's like maybe this like massive, like gobula, like sculpture, like,
right. Cause you are a practical artist.
Yeah.
You're not a painter.
I do paint, but
do
I
you
mean,
paint?
I do paint.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's like,
but your art is very practical and it's very technical.
It's strange because I started with painting and drawing, but then like I slowly moved away from it because because painting and drawing was something I was comfortable with. And then now I'm like moving into something that I'm not comfortable with. And like, I don't know how it's going to turn out.
You are an idea artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like wherever it takes me.
But you're, well, one, you're an idea artist. And two, you can implement those ideas because not many people can say that. Not many people can say like, I do watercolors and you know what I want to do? Marble sculpting. You probably can't.
Yeah, I really like, I just want like this crazy like globular like sculpture of like women's body parts and like just the hair and
I'm picturing it. I've got
it. You know what I mean?
No, I've got it.
Yeah, yeah,
I've got it.
It's massive.
I've got it.
And just like, you know, everything monstrous that is linked to like being like,
and it's pulsating and it's moving.
Yeah, and it's like, not only that, but like imagine like, you know, the fluids, like the fluids that come out of women.
Yeah.
That's super abject.
Milk. You know, right?
Like milk, and not only that,
and
but like
you can say this one. You can say this one.
There
you hit my point of being like woke to being like, I'm not going to say vaginal fluids. I just said vaginal fluids.
You totes did.
Hey, mom, how you doing? Vaginal fluids. This podcast has been brought to you by vaginal fluids.
No, it's basically that. And it's like, you know, like Barbara Creed like has this amazing...
Who's Barbara Creed?
Barbara Creed is this amazing artist and writer. And like she wrote the book, The Monstrous Feminine, which goes like in depth, like a psychoanalysis, analytic like critique of like the female monsters. And
right.
Like if you want to know more about that, it's the best book to go on that. It's like she critiques like movies and... female monsters. So,
well, this is like, a perfect place to end.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Kara Inez, this has been absolutely amazing. Everyone, tell everyone where you can be found on Instagram, because you've got to check out her work. It's literally amazing. I've seen it. She is spectacular. Where can we find you?
Okay, you can find me on Karz Marz, KarzMarz.
Z means Z.
Z. Sorry,
K-A-R-Z. K-A-R-Z.
M-A-R-Z.
M-A-R-Z. What a great afternoon, evening. What I still don't know.
It is night, Austin.
It is night. Well, it's night. No, it's night for us. It's not. All right. Everyone ever. Yes. All right. So here we go. Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.